Welcome back to the Inner Side radio program. Following 3 weeks of fun drive at home station, KPFT, which was rudely interrupted when struck by lightning. No surprise, considering the relentless secular humanist cultural atheist warfare that spews relentlessly from these airwaves. I get the message. Time for a little atonement. Let's check in with one of Texas' favorite Christians. We have Dr. Ron Paul live on the telephone. Dr. Paul, you've been speaking about your battle against world government for years. Could you elaborate on that for a minute?
There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the deadly gangster Frankenstein controls. The brazen, deadly gangster police and puppet underlings spray me with poison nerve gas from automobile exhausts and even lawnmowers. Deadly assaults, even in my yard, with knives. Even deadly touch tabin or electric shock flashlights. Even remote, electronically controlled around corners projection of deadly touch tarantula spiders. Or even bloody murder accidents to shut me up forever with a sneak, undetectable exterminator. Even with trained parroting puppet assassins in maximum security insanity prison for writing these unforgivable truths. Until my undetectable extermination I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall,
do you mean the internet?
Gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police. Trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top. The secret work of all police,
Doctor?
In order to maintain a communist closed society. The same worldwide mad deadly communist gangster computer god that controls you as a terrorized gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slave, parroting puppet, you are a terrorized member of the master race worldwide.
Okay.
4 billion eyesight television camera.
Okay, we're just going to fade this down and come back in a little while.
Master race, you're living.
Luckily, I Skyped an interview with Ian Murphy this afternoon, which I'm still reluctant to play, considering our recent lightning problems. But I'm going to go ahead and run it anyway until we can get Ron Paul under control. In conversation, I noticed that your co-journalist people call you Murphy. So are you Murphy in conversation? Is that the...
Sure.
Or Ian? Or okay. Yeah.
Yeah, either one. That's fine.
Yeah, Murphy's great because it's more like, you know, it's like the guy you're having a beer with in Chicago. And you have your own law, authority.
Right. Yeah, the drunk Irish guy. Yeah.
And Ian's kind of science fiction. I don't know why.
Science fiction. Okay.
I don't know if it's Ian Flux or Ian Fleming or. Let me get my radio voice on. My guest on the Skype is Ian Murphy, editor of the online satirical news site The Buffalo Beast. Listeners to this program are already familiar with some of Murphy's work from the 50 Most Loathsome Americans list, which I read from annually. You have to be careful with that word. Last year, Murphy managed to stir up some international news and epic lulls when he prank phone called Governor Scott Walker, pretending to be a Koch brother. Was it David?
Yep, it was David Koch.
They're kind of interchangeable, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I wonder if one has a car crash if the other one bleeds out his ears.
I would hope.
So anyway, the Scott Walker call is a kind of a self-explanatory piece of guerrilla journalism. It's been around. But I do have one question for you. When you hung up the phone, did you have any idea that this thing would go mainstream viral?
Yeah, I did. I was just kind of freaking out. I mean, I knew it would be pretty big. I didn't know it would be maybe quite that big, but... The night before we posted, I was talking to my publisher, Paul Fallon, explaining to him, like, you know, look, this is going to be on MSNBC tomorrow. And so, you know, knowing Fallon, he wanted to get some money out of it. So he tried to sell it to MSNBC.
Did it work?
No, they just waited for it to be online and took it for free.
Well, you hit it just right. Being from Houston, I've been aware of the Koch brothers for, I've been working on these guys for like 12 years. And,
yeah.
And because they're just hideous. They go way back. I mean, way back to the 40s. I never could get a whole lot of traction getting people interested in them, but the awareness of them was just starting to ramp up. So, I mean, you hit it just right. So.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, yeah, they've been insane forever. I mean, their father co-founded the John Birch Society. Scaring people about fluoridated tap water will make you communist. At the right. same time, he was making, millions building refineries for Stalin. And his children are the same kind of crazy where, they do dealings with Iran. And at the same time, they're funding insane OT party front groups. So,
yeah. And they're very much tied up with this Marshall character in Houston. I don't know if you're, that's the Anna Nicole Smith guy. And it's just,
oh,
it's,
really?
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. The big, they were best friends through the whole, it's crazy. And when they decided to start to go into what you would consider for them would be moderate politics, Dole was their mouthpiece. Bob Dole.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
A fully owned political subsidiary out of Kansas where Koch Industries are headquartered, made a run for the presidency. But that was their moderate guy that they threw at it. But they were still into the funding all the far right wing lunatics, the national manufacturers and all that.
Well, the right just keeps moving farther and farther right, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. So anyway, so now you're a bit of a folk hero on the left, especially Wisconsin. They love you in Wisconsin. And, of course, a super villain for the far-right cranks and loudmouth tools. So you go back to your wild-mannered reporter at the Buffalo Beast and write an article called F the Troops, which is a standard fair essay with a provocative title, which is how it's done, on the dangers of troop worship and and the rise of militarism, which is a discussion that's been going on since nation states. There's nothing new here. And not surprisingly, huge backlash. Now they're paying attention to you. So you want to talk about that for a minute now that you hate America?
Yeah. I'm an enemy of freedom. I provide aid and comfort to our terrorist foes. I wrote this in early 2008, I believe.
Oh, really?
And it's just been rehashed because,
Oh, they mined it.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, I got that wrong then. Okay, so they mined it out of there. They just found the most provocative thing that they could find.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, so the story's better.
There's a list of provocative things, but that's probably the most. And yeah, I mean, it's obviously the language was chosen to be provocative, but the basic thesis is, going around killing people because of lies is, not very cool. Don't do that.
Exactly.
It's pretty simple. But it's funny that you mention it going that way because, when the Scott Walker prank broke, it was all over MSNBC and, the internet and all that. And, what Fox News was running was that I wrote this article.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, and they picked it up from the Daily Caller, which is Tucker Carlson's terrible website.
Oh, yeah, he's my hero.
Yeah, that was their scoop, which was, it was on my Wikipedia page, so.
He's in the same hair club as Rick Perry.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting that they managed to mine an article that was generally absent your talent for humor, which is telling because everybody likes funny. So if they're going to trash you, they're not going to pick something out of the 50 most loathsome American, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the list is out, by the way. You lost your illustrator.
Yeah, I lost me. I didn't illustrate it this year.
Oh, you're the illustrator.
Yeah.
Well, you're a man of many talents. Those are great illustrations.
Right. Thanks. Yeah, I just didn't have it in me this year. It's been a long year.
Oh, you've been very busy in 2001. Or 2011, I'm sorry.
Yeah, wow.
So you became the Green Party candidate in New York's 26th congressional district in a special election to replace Republican Chris Lee, who had resigned after sending a shirtless picture of himself on Craigslist. Yeah. This was back when shirtless was, but this was before erections.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, so the setup is already a punchline. So you walk into this, and then you found yourself excluded from the debates because you had insulted the moderator in one of your articles, right?
Yeah, well, that was the excuse, the convenient excuse I kind of gave them. They kind of lost my invitation in the mail, and this guy from the news channel just shows up at my house with the letter like a day before I had to respond to it. I was a little drunk. I was a little stoned. My house is a fucking mess. And this guy was just weird seeing this guy at my house. And I wrote a little something about it. And yeah, I called him an orange robot or something. And that was the final straw for them. I couldn't participate.
I do remember reading that now. I'm picking stuff out of Wikipedia right now. This Wikipedia stuff is great if I ever decided to be a journalist, you know, and interview people.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah.
You got to check the page history and the sources, of course.
But slinging insults is kind of a prerequisite for a political debate. So the irony is deep in that one.
Yeah. I personally, I think they excluded me because I would have rocked way too hard for them. Yeah.
That's the way that works. There's big filters on those debates. As you know, we've seen Buddy Roma, you know.
Yeah.
Guy that makes sense.
Yeah, God forbid there be someone speaking truth to the people.
Well, at least old Ron Paul's getting in there, you know.
Yeah, but he's just insane.
He's crazy. I mean, he's wonderful. Come on. I mean, we do satire.
He's like a quarter wonderful, but it's like a stopped clock kind of thing.
Yeah, it's exactly. If this country had gone, kept going left way beyond FDR or something, and we found ourselves in some sort of a stranglehold nanny state, he'd be perfect, you know. He'd be perfect, but we went the other way, dude. Yeah, it's not time to deregulate.
Yeah, he's already kind of had his wish list ticked off there.
Dr. Ron Paul is still on the telephone. Let's see if we can get him to say something about...
Master race.
It looks like he's still going.
Thinking, mad, deadly, worldwide, communist, gangster, computer god, secret, overall plan... worldwide living death Frankenstein slavery to explore and control the entire universe with the endless stairway to the stars, namely the man-made inside-out planets with nucleonic-powered speeds much faster than the speed of light.
Dr. Paul?
Look up and see the gangster computer god concocted new fake starry sky, the worldwide completely controlled deadly degenerative climate and atmosphere through the new world-round translucent exotic gaseous envelope, which the worldwide communist gangster computer god manipulates through countless exactly positioned satellites, the new fake phony stars in the synthetic sky for ages before Frankenstein controls apoid breedable with apes had no alphabet, not even numerals.
Okay, that makes perfect
slavery
sense.
Slavery conspiracy over 300 years ago. Ideally tiny brain apoid gangster government eyesight TV gangster spy cameras. Computer god new world order degeneration.
I got it.
With gifted,
right? All right.
With all gangster Frankenstein controls. Deadly
it sounds good. Okay.
Programmed robots,
okay,
deadly ape Frankenstein machines, degenerative disease to eternal Frankenstein slavery, overall plan through one world communism, top secret code word, meaning worldwide absolutely helpless and hopeless.
We'll come back to Dr. Ron Paul in a few minutes.
Worldwide systematic instant.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, before we get into the history of the Buffalo Beast, do you want to catch us up on any more current events or recent adventures that you've been up to?
No, I've been slacking off pretty hard.
Yeah, you just got your 50 list out. So what does that take, like a month?
Way too long. Yeah, I had some health issues in the middle there. But yeah, I'd say about that, it took me just way too long.
Well, that's a tough job. Yeah. BuffaloBeast.com, by the way, we'll mention that over and over. And by the way, I've been reading that on not the whole thing, but I usually pick about half of it out and score it and put sound effects in it. I've been doing it for years. I've also sent you messages asking if it was okay, but you never returned.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Okay. The Buffalo Beast, was it originally a print?
Yes. Yeah, it was a free biweekly in Buffalo. I think at its peak, it had a circulation of something like 50,000.
So this is something that you dropped off at restaurants in the...
Yeah, I did, personally. That was my first job with the Beast, was delivery boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how long was the beast around when you...
It had been a couple of years. I was out in Seattle. I came back to Buffalo in 2004. It had been around for 2 years. I read some article by Matt Taibbi, never having heard his name before. And I was like, oh, I got to get involved with this. There's also other funny stuff, you know, by then editor Al Uthman. But Taibbi was way long. He was long gone before I showed up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you guys kind of co-founded it and hung out.
Oh, God, no. I'm not that cool. I've never met Matt, actually. I think I'm... according to Beast history, I missed him by about 5 minutes once. He came in with donuts.
Did he go to Russia from the Beast, or was that when he came in?
No, he was in Russia before the Beast.
Okay.
Anybody out there listening isn't aware of Matt Taibbi's like early work at the Exile. You have to read that. Some of that stuff is just gold.
He's a fascinating guy. He really is.
And, yeah.
I think that the time that he spent in Russia, the Soviet Union, gave him a perspective on the cynicism of politics that Americans just aren't aware of.
Yeah, well, I think we're catching up.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We're slowly becoming aware of the oligarch class and pretty much how they puppeteer everything.
And he's been instrumental in that, I think. His ability to... unravel that Wall Street stuff and explain it in a way that I can understand it.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Exile itself is their journalistic legacy is, you know, it's continuing to this day. You know, you have Mark Ames. Mark Ames basically founded the Exile in something like 90. I want to say 91, but I don't even know if that's true. But Matt Taibbi joined shortly thereafter, and they both kick ass. I mean, Ames and Levine over at the Exile are still covering the hell out of the Koch brothers. And then you look at Taibbi over at Rolling Stone, and he's just, you know, trouncing the hell out of Goldman Sachs every day. And, those guys are just awesome.
I'm sort of dropping into the middle of the conversation about the Exile. Was that printed in the Soviet Union? Or
Yeah. That was okay. Based out of Moscow.
Yeah. I think he said something like, well, I was just used to putting on a gorilla suit and running around on LSD before. So, guerrilla politics journalism. It's great stuff. Speaking of that, I first ran across the Buffalo Beast and you when I was Googling Ken Ham's Creation Museum.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's when I first ran into you. And you had an extensive article there. And what's funny is that when I first started reading this article, I was just insulted and outraged that anybody would so obviously plagiarize Hunter Thompson's style. And I was like halfway through it before I go, oh, he's doing this on purpose. And then I was hooked. I was hooked. Mm. It's a great article. Do you want to talk about it for a minute? But by the way, what is it called anyway? The title.
The name of the article is Let There Be Retards.
Let There Be Retards. I would urge everybody to go to thebuffalobeast.com and read that. It's hysterical. But you want to give us some teasers on that article?
Sure. I guess that was 2007. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 months before Ken Ham's Insano Creation Quote Museum opened up in Kentucky, I read about it. It was going to open up on Memorial Day weekend, and I just thought, you know, we have to go cover the opening of this. There's no possible way they'd let us in, and, you know, let's just have some fun with it. So we set up this this website called The Special Times. It was a website of Christian journalism for the developmentally disabled.
Right.
And I played a character named Dougie Johnston. I have an affinity for cookies, wrestling, and investigative reporting. And Josh Bunting, who works at The Beast, played the part of my Christian caregiver who met me when he hit me with his car, apparently.
Is that how you became mentally disabled from that accident? Or
we never really got into it. The affliction I purportedly was stricken with was called Asperger's syndrome by proxy. And so the whole idea, I mean, stupid us, we kind of let the domain name expire on that. But if you go, if anyone out there wants to go check it out, you can go to the Wayback Machine and find it. It's the specialtimes.com. It's also, the content of it is listed in the article. And, you know, we just tried to make it as ridiculous and unbelievable as possible. And yet, you know, we pitched it to the Creation Museum people, and they said, sure, come along. Here's your press passes. And the article was basically just me being wheeled around in a wheelchair by Josh and acting like a complete asshole.
You threw in some Tourette's syndrome, too, I noticed.
I don't even know what that was.
You were just shouting and yelling at people inappropriately. Yeah. So, and the glasses were a nice touch.
Yeah. Well, the glasses were so thick, by the end of the day, I had a massive headache. I couldn't see a thing.
So did you get a lot of feedback and backlash from that when you printed that, or did they just ignore you?
It was pretty widely read by my standards, anyway.
It got around and, Feringula and all that.
Yeah, it got around the kind of atheist blogosphere, at any rate. And we did get an email from the Creation Museum who said, you know, it said they were on to us the whole time.
Of course.
Or something. Which is like, yeah, of course you were. That's why you let me, like, power hug your CEO and ask him a bunch of ridiculous questions.
I know. There is video on the website, too. It's pretty funny. Pretty ballsy stuff there. I really enjoyed that. A lot of skepticism at the Buffalo Beast.
That is true. That's the basic foundation of whether we're trying to be funny or not. That's the basic foundation of what we're trying to do here is make sense. And, you know, as far as gods and things like that, a healthy amount of skepticism is good. It should also be applied to politics. I mean, you look at a guy like Rick Santorum, who's, you know, now he won these latest contests, and he's just out of his goddamn mind. You know, he's loopy for Jesus. He doesn't think he calls climate change a hoax. It's just, you know, if you look at the big picture, it's really this magical thinking, which is kind of plaguing humanity.
He's the one that got through. But man, if you're doing satire, I'll tell you that this low-hanging fruit, which is very biblical, actually, low-hanging fruit, and it tastes so good. So anyway, this is a prank phone call, of course. I have Andrew Breitbart here.
And, yeah?
Yeah, cool. I told him, I bet you I can get Ian Murphy on and we can prank him.
That would be so much fun.
If he would do me a favor. But he's under the desk doing me a favor right now, so he's got his mouth full. I think he's done this before. Pretty good.
You know, I, to be honest, I have that in the back of my head whenever I do an interview. It's like, is this the time
exactly. Someone
fits with me?
I know.
But at the same time, it would be kind of awesome if someone did, because then that would mean I was worth fucking with. So,
of course.
Am I allowed to swear?
Right. I am a master editor, so.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I can bleep stuff. As long as the curse words aren't nouns, it's fine.
Oh. Yeah.
Because if you take the nouns out, or bleep the nouns, then people kind of get lost. Is there an Occupy Buffalo?
There is no longer an Occupy Buffalo.
Well, because of the weather.
No, about a week ago, the police rolled in with their, you know, their SWAT team and kind of cleared it in the middle of the night.
So people were still occupying Buffalo a week ago?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. They had this, they had an amazing amount of tents and structures at one point. You know, they had porta potties, a geodesic dome, these insane, huge kind of wedding tents. But I think it started about 2 weeks after people started occupying Zuccotti Park, and it went on until about a week ago. So,
I was
impressed how long they stayed out there. I don't really know what they were accomplishing by the end. I think they're kind of getting on people's nerves, but you know, they might well.
For people who don't know, Buffalo is noted for its weather, which is extreme. It's really freaking cold up there. It's very windy. And
I don't know what it's El Nino or global warming or something, but It's been a really mild winter. It's pretty cold out, but we haven't had any real serious snow.
You know, I suspect that when the weather warms up again, that this thing's going to flare up big time. Maybe Egypt.
Yeah, I don't know. I should hope so. It's gotta have some sort of twist to it, though, you know. As far as battling for hearts and minds, I think the press is kind of like beat it into people that these people are just, you know, homeless and they're the dregs of society. And so I don't know if occupying public space is the answer when the weather breaks. But then again, if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes.
Got to get something going.
Yeah.
Buffalo's kind of famous also for, at least when I was in that part of the country, it was during Rust Belt times, and just everybody was out of work. I mean, that was when all the jobs went overseas.
Right.
All the
that's Buffalo. Yeah, that's still Buffalo. The economic collapse didn't hit us as hard because we were already down at the bottom there.
So what's in the future? You just taking a break?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I have no plans. I gotta figure out something good to do, but,
Thanks for talking to us, and I'll call you back again sometime. We'll catch up every 6 months or so.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right.
Good talking to you.
We now go back to Ron Paul. Apparently still in progress.
Instant plastic surgery, it looks like butchery, murder, fake aging, so all people are dead or useless by age 70. Done at night to you as a Frankenstein slave, parroting puppet gangster slave. Now even you know I am a menace to your worldwide mad, deadly communist gangster computer god. Therefore, I must go to extermination before I am exterminated by this gangster computer god concocted and controlled worst mongrel organized crime murder incorporated gangster communist government. I hand you the secrets to save the entire human race and the entire universe.
Sounds great. Okay.
Donate money or even a manual typewriter to
me. Make sure to do that. Okay.
Only vote for a future.
Thank you, Ron Paul, for sharing that. Thank you, Ian Murphy from the BuffaloBeast.com and Josh Bunting for the Francis Deck. My name is Scooter, and you've been listening to The Inner Side. This and all previous Inner Side programs are archived on the worldwide gangster computer god, gangster communist controlled top secret government, earphone radio slave, conspiratorial atheist puppet, deadly Frankenstein internets. Simply Google The Inner Side, and I'll see y'all next week.
Down with disease, 3 weeks in my bed, trying to stop these demons that keep dancing in my head. Down with disease, and I'm up before the dawn. 1,000 barefoot children outside, dancing on my lawn. Dancing on my lawn. Waiting for a time when I can finally say that this has all been wonderful, but now I'm on my way. When I think it's time to leave it all behind, try to find a way.
Solely by worldwide computer god Frankenstein controllers, especially lifelong constant threshold brainwash radio. 4 billion worldwide population, all living, have a computer god containment policy brain bank brain, a real brain, in the brain bank cities on the far side of the moon we never see. Primarily based on your lifelong Frankenstein radio controls, especially...